Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey everyone, and welcome back. We have got an exciting conversation with Joe Lally, former head of digital product at WWE before he went on to his current role at PwC. All the letters for Joe. We have also got an announcement for you. In a few weeks, on April 5th, we will be having our first webinar of the year. Mr. Brett Harned, who is the author of Project Management for Humans, is going to share with us his tips and tricks for optimizing your team's process. So that's going to be great. Look for that. As always, thanks to our sponsors, MailChimp and Voxy. They do so much for us and make this podcast possible. I look for more information on them in the show notes. And now, let's get on with that conversation with Joe.
How's it going, Joe?
Doing great, Carl. Good to be here.
Now, ever since I met you, I have been fascinated with the idea, and I knew it was real, right? But fascinated with the idea that organizations like WWE are actually companies, and they have digital products and people in charge of them. So if you don't mind, could you just explain to everybody a little bit of your background and how you came up to where you are today?
Sure. Yeah. So I spent the earlier part of my career mostly in entertainment and media companies. So I was working with Viacom, which is includes MTV and Comedy Central and Nickelodeon and some of the other cable channels, working there for about 8 or 9 years. And while I was there, got a call from somebody who was representing WWE and had a role that sounded really interesting to help kind of lead some product innovation and new product design. And I went in, and to be honest, I was a big fan as a child, but I hadn't really followed them as a company, during that time. And I went in and interviewed with a number of different people, and just a fascinating organization. And they were doing some things that I think a lot of other companies hadn't even tried yet. So it's really exciting for me. And I jumped at the opportunity to join with them.
Now, Vince McMahon, I remember reading about him in Ad Age and just how amazingly sophisticated he was. And a comparison was made between Vince McMahon and Madonna as two of the best marketers, right? Now, Vince has this entertainment mecca. And I remember my dad watching wrestling. My dad, clinical psychologist, watching wrestling, Gordon Solie, all that stuff way back in the day, right? And I was always like, what is going on? But the idea that Vince McMahon, actually it's a persona when he's out in front of the camera, but behind the camera, he's kind of a genius.
Yeah. Yeah. Just an amazing person to have had the opportunity to work with a bit. I'll tell you the first time I got to meet him, I had recently joined, and as happens with a lot of people who join, I was leading a product team, and I had to put together sort of my plan, my roadmap for the next year of what products I thought we might want to focus on and where and why. And, as I was putting that plan together, I reviewed it with my boss and a couple other folks within the organization just to get their input. And there were changes made along the way. And then eventually I got to sit down with Vince, and we're talking about one of the first few product ideas. And the first question he asks me, he said, "Is this what our fans want?" And I remember thinking to myself how appreciative I was of that question, because you think about, he's somebody who's been running this business for 30 plus years at the time, and is quite famous and well known and a very busy guy. And for him to have maintained that fan first perspective of, is this what our fans want, I really appreciated. And I went on and sort of explained the information we knew to that point about that particular product and why we believed it was something our fans would want. And, from there, I think we had a good, kind of very respectful relationship.
All right. So this is amazing to me to think about. First of all, obviously WWE has products, but to think about you sitting there and putting together a roadmap, the one question I have is, did you create personas? I mean, like, did you have personas up on the wall of wrestling fans?
We did. And you know, those came out of a lot of research. I mean, one of the great things about an organization like that is that we could have a lot of direct interaction with the customer, with the fans. So WWE produces events almost daily around the world. So there were lots of opportunities for me and my team to go and just sit in an arena and see what it's like to be a fan, to talk to people on the concession stand lines who had, you know, a mother who had brought her, you know, her two children and their friends, and really just talk to people and understand what it was like. And that gave us a ton of information to build these personas off of. And we learned that there were just, you know, different kinds of fans and different motivations for different kinds of fans. So that was another thing I really appreciated, is just the ability to have that direct access, which you don't always get in some organizations. And we use that to drive a lot of the product roadmap. So, you know, when I would get questions like, is this what our fans want? I would lean on a lot of that research to help, you know, explain why, you know, at that point in time, I believed it was something that they potentially wanted.
Now, can you just give us an example of one or two of the personas? Like, I love this idea of the mom who's bringing the kids and the kids' friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so the ones that we kind of boiled down to were, there were people who, maybe I kind of fell into this category too, who were almost like they had been fans, very strong fans, passionate fans years ago, and somewhere along the way just kind of, you know, stopped being part of it, stopped watching. And, you know, there was an opportunity to kind of get them excited about it again, but they weren't familiar with a lot of the content. So there would be a group of folks like that. Then there were also the super, super passionate fans who were following along, watching all of the shows, also following a lot of the people on social media and things like that. So there were kind of, you know, this spectrum of the type of fan. And we knew that it wasn't a one size fits all kind of thing. So we could build features on our website or on the subscription video service that would appeal to one type of fan, but not the other. So we had to be really intentional about just how and when we release those products and have really, really strong consideration for those different types of fans, those different types of personas.
Yeah. See, I think I probably fit into that first one, because I remember as a kid with my dad watching, and even probably a little bit into college, like just loving the theatrics and the goofiness. And back then when I was watching, they weren't really athletes. I mean, they were doing athletic things, but you know, it was the Dusty Rhodes and Mr. Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
One and Two, Junkyard Dog. I can't believe I'm remembering all this stuff. And it's hilarious, right? Ric Flair. And, the Samoan, I just, all of these things, it was such great theater, but then I just, something in college, probably college, took me away from it. So when you talk about products, you're actually talking about the content. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Is it content delivery? Like, I'm just trying to understand, what are the products of the WWE?
So the things that I worked on while I was there, there were a few areas. So when I first joined, we were experimenting in kind of the mobile gaming space. So there were, and you know, these sorts of platforms are still successful, but at the time they were really on the rise. So driving games, fighting games, those sort of first person games. And we experimented building a couple of those and used some well tested models and paired those up with some really successful and well-known superstars within WWE. So we built a fighting game based around The Rock and his persona, and a car racing game based around John Cena and his persona. And that was really fun and exciting. And then we did some other things. We had a lot of experimentation around kind of the whole second screen concept. So at the time, and still true, WWE is one of the few organizations that had very regular live television. So we had a mobile application that fans would have in their hands, you know, on their phones while they were watching these weekly live shows, and they would have the opportunity to interact. So they could vote on the next match stipulation, or they could vote on the next opponent or things like that. So they could really become part of the show, which is so fun to experiment with. And we would get fans in and kind of test these ideas and try to identify the ones that resonated. So it was things like that. And then the big one that I probably spent the most time on while I was there was launching WWE Network, which is a subscription video service We launched it on, I think at the time it was 11 or 12 platforms, all mobile devices, gaming consoles, smart TVs, and all of the different ways that you could kind of stream media to a screen. So there were lots of really big kind of macro decisions around platforms and delivery mechanisms and things like that. But then there were some smaller decisions like how do we expose recommended content, or how does search work, and how can people sort through search results and what makes sense to people. So we had to test and iterate a lot throughout that. It was really, really fun.
Wow. I'm just sitting here thinking, first of all, I remember when the NFL introduced second screen and they were trying to do some stuff, and I don't know if they still have it or not. It was all right, but I think it kind of fell flat. With WWE, I can totally see where, because people are getting more engaged. And I'm just curious. So with WWE events on TV, it's a social interaction, right? People are having friends over.
I think that is true. And we thought that was true, but there was also a lot of kind of, I don't know, virtual interaction, and social media was, and continues to, but was really, really growing at the time. And I mean, there were superstars who had, in the millions of followers on various channels. And we really started to see that the storylines were continuing after the show's finished. So a show would air on a Monday evening, and still Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, the fans were talking about what had happened and still interacting through social channels. So it almost became a, kind of all the time, always on entertainment.
Which is what the NFL didn't have, because you weren't really interacting with the players. You weren't able, it just didn't lend itself to that. So this is fascinating to think that the fans become part of the storyline, continue the storyline. And then once you go through and you launch the network, what was your team like that you were able to push out on all of these platforms and devices with any level of QA?
Yeah. So we had, at the time, I had a team of product-focused people, some analytics-focused people. We had brought in somebody who was kind of a peer of mine who was leading a lot of the technology efforts internally. And then we partnered with a couple of external organizations. So we partnered with MLB Advanced Media to power a lot of the platforms and build some of the different applications. And a couple of other partners. We also had to work closely with a lot of the application storefront teams. So working with Apple and Google and Sony PlayStation teams and all of that. So it was a big, big concerted effort across striking deals, organizing content, developing, QAing, testing. Really, really massive effort. And one of the most exciting projects I'd ever been a part of.
And what did communication look like? Like, what tools did you use to communicate across this group?
Across the different teams that were working on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, loads and loads of conference calls. At one time, I actually got two phones put into my office because there were times that I might be on two conference calls at once because it was getting pretty busy. And so it was a lot of that, a lot of email, a lot of conference calls. I think, if we were to do it today, I think we'd probably leverage more, which just wasn't quite there yet, but a lot more kind of video conference technology, shared online documents, things like that, that would make it a little bit easier. And, this wasn't even that long ago. I mean, this is only, four or five years ago. So a lot of the communication tools have evolved a ton. And the ones that I use today with my team are it's mostly kind of, video conferencing and lots of screen sharing and collaboration tools.
So the thing that's boiling in the back of my mind is WrestleMania.
Yeah.
How did WrestleMania impact you and your team? It feels like it's going to be an all hands on deck kind of situation. So walk us through what WrestleMania meant.
It's the Super Bowl of wrestling, and huge, huge event. So tons of planning up front. And, I was there for a couple of them. And the one that, I remember the most was shortly after we had launched the network, and it took place in New Orleans. And, we set up a sort of a command center in the, you know, the basement of the Silver Dome, and we had every device hooked up and streaming. We had lots of QA monitoring. We had multiple conference bridges going. We had people monitoring our customer service lines, monitoring social media, everywhere that we could just get ahead of any potential issues, but also amp up the good. What were people enjoying? All of that. So it was a massive, massive effort. And I remember in that event, the Undertaker, who, if you know, if you're not familiar with him, he had not lost a WrestleMania match in his career, and he was due to fight then, and you know, no one believed he would lose a match because he just hadn't. And I remember being in the arena, and he did lose that match, and the Silver Dome holds, I don't know, 70,000 or so people, and you could hear a pin drop when this happened. It was one of the most amazing moments for me to witness ever. And you know, I remember having this moment thinking how unbelievable that was, and then immediately jumping back and remembering that, hey, I was working right now. Let me what's going on here. Everything went really smoothly. So it was a big night.
So you had a command center in the base of the arena?
We did, yeah.
How many people were down there?
It wasn't a ton of people. It was probably, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 of us at any one time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just screens all over the place showing, like, monitoring different things that were going on?
That's right. All sorts of quality monitoring, quality of the video streams, you know, social media monitoring. We had this is another thing that I highly recommend to anybody who ever gets a chance to work at kind of a direct to consumer organization, is we had a close relationship with our customer service team. So we had call centers in different areas, and I actually spent some time in one of our call centers and got to know people, actually trained some of the people on the product. And it's a great way to get really close to the customer, because these, you know, those are the folks that are hearing from the customers on a daily basis. They can really, really empathize with what it's like to be those customers. So that was a big channel for us to pay attention to, because it really told us a lot.
So when the Undertaker loses, did customer service light up?
No, I mean, social media certainly lit up.
Right.
But, you know, as far as, you know, the product held strong, it was, you know, it was doing really well. And, you know, but social media really exploded. And one thing I do remember about that night was, you know, there's a limited amount of bandwidth on the internet. And that night it was, I think, the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. So there were, you know, quite a few games going on and, you know, lots of people watching that. It was also, I believe, the premiere of Game of Thrones, and you know, lots of people watching that. So you know, we were watching those things too. We were watching social media for you know, any kind of quality issues that might be happening just on the internet, because there's, you know, there's a limited amount of
right. So what was the social media team like?
So that team has grown, and I know is much larger now, you know, since I've left. But it was a pretty large team, and you know, they were partly tasked with helping some of the superstars within WWE just understand how to leverage the channels effectively, and then also doing some of that promotion themselves. It's a really big channel, and it was one of the things that was really, you know, I think originally driven by the fans. The fans embraced those channels and used them a lot, and it was a great way to just sort of stay in contact and keep the storylines going.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for giving us a little behind the scenes at WWE. When you look back at your time there, what's one of the things that you think you took with you that's carrying you through your career now?
Quite a few things. I mean, it was an amazing time in my career. I feel fortunate to have been there. I'll say one thing that, you know, this was something Vince, you know, used to say a lot, was he would say first day on the job. And, you know, what he meant by that was, you know, sort of forget what you know and, you know, look at things with a fresh perspective. And I've embraced that, and I continue to leverage that in my role now, and or try to just sort of think differently, reframe questions, forget a little bit about what I know, and try to maintain that fresh perspective.
I think That's absolutely brilliant and something we can all learn from. So, Joe, thanks again for being here on the show today. And all the best, man. I look forward to seeing what you do next.
All right. Thanks, Carl. It's been great.
And for everybody listening, thank you so much. And we'll be back next week. We'll talk to you then.